Hello and welcome back to Impacting Your World. I'm Apostle Debbie Viggs. Let's get started with Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14 this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you and to give you praise. We give you all glory and all honor. We pray these Colossians prayers over ourselves this morning. From the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray and to make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and an understanding and discernment of spiritual things. I pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power, according to the might of your glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance, and forbearance with joy. And I give thanks to you, Father, because you have qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. And I thank you that you have delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you have transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. For all this, we thank you, Father. We give you praise, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, with thanksgiving, we have prayed. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, praise God. Today, I want us to talk about revelation from the Word of God. One of my favorite scriptures that I pray before I read the Bible, and I still do that in all these years of, you know, just studying the Word of God, is Psalm 119 and verse 18. It says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." And so the revelation that we get from the Word of God is super important. In fact, when you read the Bible, sometimes, you know, you can get revelation from reading as well as when you study. You know, a lot more revelation comes through when you take time to study the Word rather than reading it like a novel. But you could still get revelation from reading, and it's important as Christians that we don't just read to read. You know, just to say, well, I've read five chapters today, but without gaining any revelation out of that, you know, whatever you know, those chapters that you've read, it's not going to help you. It is just like, you know, reading a romance novel. At the end of it, it just makes you, you know, feel good or whatever. And nothing really, it's not beneficial. Well, the Word of God is, it's beneficial for us. And so it's important that we understand what God is saying to us. So last week we were looking at how Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of God." You know, well, in order for us to really know these mysteries, we need revelation in the Word of God. And so let's start with the book of Revelation itself, Revelation chapter 5, and we'll read from verse 4 to 5. In Revelation 5, verse 4 to 5, the Bible says, "And I wept audibly and bitterly because no one was found fit to open the scroll or to inspect it. Then one of the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin said to me, 'Stop weeping. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root source of David, he has won, he has overcome and conquered. He can open the scroll and break its seven seals.'" Amen. Well, what is this letting us know? You know, if something is sealed and you're not able to, you know, gain or understand or get inside of what's behind it, it doesn't really help you. Well, it's the same thing with revelation. When we study the Word of God, the revelation is what will cure all of our tears. It's the bedrock upon which every revolution is built. And so until the book, we are told here, the book or the Bible is opened, weeping and frustration may continue. And so I thank God, you know, the scripture tells us that the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed and he has opened the book. What does that mean? By him opening the book, he has, you know, brought an end to all of man's tears. So when Jesus gave up the ghost, you know, we are told after he was crucified, the veil in the temple was torn in two, providing supernatural access for everyone into the things behind the veil. And so the opening of the scriptures, when we study the scriptures and when we pray and ask the Lord to open our eyes so that we may behold the wondrous things that are in the law, we're asking him to open the scriptures to us so that, you know, and how does the opening of the scriptures take place? It's through revelation. And once the scriptures are open to us through revelation, and we get that word, we understand it, it revolutionizes us. It actually decorates our future. It terminates every type of sorrow or challenge or tears that we may be faced with at that time. And it also dignifies our destinies. Revelation of the word of God provokes supernatural turnaround in every situation that one may face. Now, the Bible clearly tells us, you know, the beauty of revelation or the virtues that are found in revelation. Well, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, we are told, by means of these, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay or rottenness and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers and partakers of the divine nature. So this is super important. By means of his promises, you know, it says by means of these, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through these promises we may escape, you know, what is in the world, the corruptness and rottenness that is in the world. And so that we can be sharers and partakers of the divine nature. So we see that once you receive revelation from any word that you receive from God, it infuses divine nature. It imparts divine nature into you and I. So basically, when the great and precious promises of Scripture enter into us by supernatural understanding, so that's really what revelation is. We have to gain supernatural understanding. We find that they impart the nature or the person of God into us. So divine nature can only be infused into a person when he or she grasps the mysteries of the word. You see, in John 10 and verse 35, Jesus said, so men are called gods by the law, men to whom God's message came, and the scripture cannot be set aside or canceled or broken or annulled. You see, when the word, when we grasp the mysteries that are in the word, like Jesus said, to you and I, it has been given to know. When we grasp the mysteries that are in the word of God, this is what will change our situation or take us to another level or another degree. You know, the word of God, each time we study it and we gain revelation, we're supposed to go from one level and to another level, from one degree to another degree. We're supposed to go higher. And if you find that your, you know, your level is not changing, it's because you're not receiving the revelation you need for that situation or for your life to really progress from that level you're on to the next level. I said, you know, before, I believe last week, I said the reason why we are all not enjoying the same levels of victory and triumphs is not because more are more qualified than others, but it's because some are walking in more light than others. Some are walking in more revelation. They've gained revelation of the word of God. And so the more revelation you gain from the word of God, you know, the more God's divine nature is imparted unto you, the more, you know, the higher you go in life. You know, so it's not really a quality of, you know, degrees that one has, you know, worldly or educational degrees. You know, it's more of the word, because you can find somebody who's never been to any college, doesn't have any form of certification or education. And we see this with the apostles. We are told in the book of Acts that these leaders, you know, would actually, they actually said, how come these men so know so much, and how come they're able to perform all these miracles, and yet these are men who don't really have much education? Well, it's because of the divine nature that was imparted unto them, the revelation, the mysteries that they caught a hold of. The, you know, to you and I, it's been given to know the mysteries. And once you have that light, because you're walking in more, you know, once you gain that light, when we pray and say, Lord, open my eyes so that I may, you know, I may see, open my eyes so that I may, you know, receive what is behind this word that I'm about to read. And the Holy Spirit is right there to help you and to help you to gain that understanding that, you know, you gain the wondrous things that behind the promises of God. And then you apply that to your life begins to change. And that's when we talk about changing levels. You move from one level to another level to another level. Amen. And so you need revelation. In order for you to be successful in any area of life, you need revelation of the word of God. Amen. And so we see here with John 10:10 that the Bible tells us that God is a spirit. Of course, we know this from John 4:24, that God is a spirit, a supernatural being. John 4:24, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, or in reality. Amen. And the word of God, we also know from John 6:63, that it is the, you know, God's word, the Bible tells us that it is the spirit who gives life. He is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit whatever. There is no profit in the flesh or profit in it. The words or truths that I have been speaking to you are spirit and are life. This is Jesus speaking. So therefore, when God's word enters into you, the spirit of the Lord enters you as well, imparting into you his divine nature. Or when the spirit of the Lord enters you, it imparts, it comes, brings with it God's divine nature. And this is what 2 Peter 1:4 is talking about, that we become sharers and partakers of the divine nature. So once we receive this divine nature, well, you know, other virtues of revelation basically is that we find, let's read in Revelation chapter 5, I've read verse 4 to 5, but also let's go to Isaiah 60. In Isaiah chapter 60, and we'll find in Isaiah 60, verse 20. Let's get to that and read what the prophet here said. In Isaiah 60, verse 20, he says, your sun shall no more go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. So you see that word there, your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. So revelation, when we get the light of the word of God, you know, when we walk in the light of scriptures or in the revelation of the scriptures, it terminates, you know, the days of our mournings are end. It terminates tears. The days of our mourning end. That's why we saw in Revelation chapter 5, verse 4 through 5, how it says, then one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root source of David, has won and overcome and conquered. He can open the scroll and break its seven seals. So when light comes, it brings with it the power to terminate tears and sorrows. You know, the revelation, once we receive revelation from the word of God, it also ensures protection, because, you know, we're told in Isaiah 11, verse 9, that nothing shall hurt nor or destroy upon God's holy mountain. Isaiah 11, verse 9, it says, they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. So you see, once you have the knowledge and you receive, you know, that knowledge of the word of the Lord, there shall be no hurt. You know, we shall not hurt or destroy. Amen. We also know that revelation from the word of God, it tells us that revelation provokes sanctification as well. You find in John 17, verse 17, Jesus praying to the Father, he says, sanctify them, purify, consecrate, or separate them for yourself. Make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth. So he's telling us your word is truth. So by the word of God, by the truth of the word of God, you know, we are sanctified. He says, sanctify them by the truth, and your word is truth. Amen. John 15, verse 3 says, you are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you by the teachings I have discussed with you. So as we study the word of God, we are being pruned. We are being cleansed through the word of God. In Ephesians 5:26, the Bible tells us, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. So the word of God, as we study it, as we gain revelation, it washes us of all unrighteousness. It cleanses us. Just like the blood of Jesus cleanses us, the word of God also has, cleansing qualities. As we study it and we apply it to our lives, that we begin to be cleansed of things that are not right in God's sight, the things that don't, you know, cause us not to be aligned to his will for our lives. Amen. And then let's do in Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11, David here says, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed and keeping watch on himself, according to your word, conforming his life to it. With my whole heart have I sought you, inquiring for and of you, and yearning for you. Oh, let me not wander or step aside, either in ignorance or willfully, from your commandments. Your word have I laid up in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So we see again that the word of God, you know, when we lay it up in our hearts, it helps us not to sin against God. And David said, how shall a young man cleanse his way? Well, when we take heed and keeping watch according to the word and conforming our lives according, you know, to the word of God, then we, you know, that's how we cleanse our way. And when we take up the word of God and lay it up in our hearts, we will not sin against the Lord. Amen. Another scripture, first of all, before we go to that verse, we are told, you know, from the word of God that whatever is born of God does not sin, because the seed of God, which is the word of God, is in us. So when we are born of God, you know, we are not supposed to sin because the seed of God or the word is in us. Whenever we are tempted to sin, whenever there's, those habits that we're supposed to break and they don't seem to go away, and we know it's not pleasing in the sight of God, it means that that particular area in our lives, we haven't fully submitted it unto the word of God or unto the Lord. And so we haven't received, either we haven't received revelation, much light in that area, or we just haven't submitted fully to the word of God. Because when you have the word of God, then you are free from sin. In whatever area you are in bondage to sin, you will be free from that. You'll be free from in that area. Another virtue of revelation is dignity, and we find that in Psalm 45, verse 3-5. It says, "Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, in your glory and your majesty, and in your majesty ride on triumphantly for the cause of truth, humility, and righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God. And let your right hand guide you to tremendous things. Your arrows are sharp, and the peoples fall under you. Your darts pierce the hearts of the king's enemy." You see, so you're riding on, you ride on in majesty, and you ride triumphantly. So revelation, delivers to us dignity. It also provokes faith. No, you know, when Revelation provokes faith in you, you cannot doubt what you can see. Even, you know, doubting Thomas believed after he saw. So what Revelation does is to make you go beyond hearing. So yes, we are told faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And so the more you hear of the word, the more you hear of the word, the more you, you know, let the word of God, you hear the word of God, faith comes by hearing and hearing. But, you know, you don't stop at faith. You know, you want to be able to see. And so beyond faith is revelation. And when revelation, when you have revelation of what you're hearing, it causes you to see in the supernatural the end product. So that's why meditation is important, because as you meditate on the word, you begin to see yourself conforming to what the word of God says. When you see, you find out any form of doubt that you may have had concerning that situation dies. That's why Psalm 119 verse 18 is so important. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. You know, God may give you a word. You know, let's say you're dealing with a situation and God gives you a verse, and you take that verse and you reading it. It may not make sense to you in the natural, just reading that verse, and you're trying to understand, how does this apply to my situation? Well, that's when you want to go into meditating that word. After you've confessed it and read it several times, you want to now start meditating upon it. And in meditation, revelation comes. Through meditation, revelation will come. And the word, you know, that's really when you can say, Holy Spirit, open my eyes. What are you saying here? Open my eyes so that I may behold the wondrous things that are behind here, so that I may understand what you're saying. And sometimes it takes time. You just have to say, Lord, what are you saying? I can't see it. I mean, what are you saying, Lord? What are you saying, Lord? You know, and so until the Lord opens your eyes to see it. And that's what revelation does. Because once you see, you cannot doubt. In John chapter 4, verse 48, the Bible says, then Jesus said unto them, unless you see signs and miracles happen, you people never will believe, trust, or have faith at all. In also John 20, verse 29, Jesus said to them, because you have seen me, Thomas, do you now believe, trust, and have faith? Blessed and happy and to be envied are those who have never seen me and yet have believed and adhered to and trusted and relied on me. Amen. And so anytime that, you know, you need revelation, you need to spend time in the word of God. So I'll give you an example. A couple of years ago, not even a couple of years ago, 11 years ago to be precise, the Lord gave me a word about, you know, something that I was believing for in the ministry. Well, at that time, I wasn't actually even believing for it. He gave me a vision of it in a dream. And then he confirmed my vision with through somebody else who, you know, just had a dream. You know, this person, just regular average Christian, had a dream and said, woman of God, you know, I had a dream last night, and this is what, you know, the Lord showed me. And so it happened at the same time that I had the dream, and we were not sleeping in the same room. So, you know, not even in the same bed. Hello. But I tell you, the person was in the other room. I was in the other room. So I just took that in. For me, that was confirmation. And another time, again, the Lord gave me revelation for that. So I said, okay, Lord, what word do I stand on? You know, and of course I knew that what he was telling me, it wasn't going to happen like the very next day. You know, I was just beginning, full-time ministry. And so I knew that it was for time to, you know, for a time to come in the future. The Bible says in the book of Habakkuk that, you know, write the vision and make it plain. And though even though it tarry, wait for it, because it will come to pass. And so I asked the Holy Spirit, what word do I stand on? And he took me to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And so, of course, you know, you really have to have the Lord open your eyes when you're reading Ecclesiastes, because you might miss the nuggets that are in there. And so, of course, I read this and I read this and I read this and I read this, and I could not figure out what it is that the Lord had said. You know, I'm like, okay, Lord, how do I, you know, what is this word? Well, I'll give you a clue. I'll just tell you exactly what the word of the Lord was at the time. He gave me a vision of how, you know, we were going to have ministry jets that, you know, with all the work that we were doing, and there was a specific number, and that, you know, in years to come, the Lord will bless us with ministry jets so we could do ministry and be able to go to all the different places that we are not able to go to, you know, so within the U.S. and outside of the U.S. and international. And so there were several, you know, things that he said, of course. But this individual who also had the similar dream said, you know, I dreamt that, you know, the Lord was blessing you with like 7 jets and all that stuff, and you would be traveling all over the world and everything. So, of course, I didn't say much to them. I just said, oh, praise the Lord. But I knew what the Lord had shown me. And so, of course, now, and then the third time I had the same vision, I said, Lord, what is the word that I need to stand on? And so I just could not find it. I just could not find it. I could not find it. And I mean, I started reading and reading and reading. And then I would go line by, you know, verse by verse, verse by verse, verse by verse. I still couldn't figure it out. And so one day I got, you know, I was listening to the word of God being preached by one, you know, prominent man of God. And he said something, and he mentioned that book. And I'm telling you, but it had nothing to do at the time with what, you know, I was believing God for, because at this point I'd given up because I couldn't figure it out. And then that morning I just remember saying, Holy Spirit, open my eyes so I can see what God is saying. You know, it's important that when you have a vision, you have, you know, especially if it's from God, you have a word to stand on. Otherwise the enemy can come and give you doubt and all that, and you give up on that. Well, I'll tell you, it took over a month or so for me to actually find the verse that God gave me to stand on for that particular, you know, vision that he had given. So when you read it, you wouldn't know, but let me read it to you. It says, curse not the king, no, not even in your thoughts, and curse not the rich in your bedchamber, for a bird of the air will carry the voice, and a winged creature will tell the matter. That was the word the Holy Spirit was giving me to stand on. Now, you may not know it, you may not see it, but it says a bird of the air. What is that? That's an airplane. Will carry the voice, and a winged creature will tell the matter. Again, a plane is a winged creature, you know, whatever you may call it. But that was the word. And so as soon as I got that, I mean, it's like light just, you know, the revelation came, and I was like, yes, 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 this is what God is saying. I gave you that I don't share this with people, but I felt that I needed to share with you, for some of you, because God may give you a verse and you don't fully understand it. You just need to take your time, get into that verse and study it, meditate upon it. Studying it is one thing, but meditating is what will bring about the revelation that you need. So there are other things as well that revelation does. Will continue tomorrow. But I want to close by saying that every person who receives revelation is not only a person of faith, and but will always be more than a conqueror in every situation, because you can quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. So that's why it's so important, before you jump into prayer and just pray anyhow, you take, you know, whenever you're encountering a storm or a challenge, you go before the Lord first, ask him, what does he want you to do? Many times he'll, you know, turn you to the word. When you get that verse or that scripture or that chapter he's telling you to study and get your answer from there, take that time to study, meditate, ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes so you can see what the answer is. Once light comes, once that revelation comes, and you take it and apply it, that situation will turn around. There'll be no stopping. You'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy, and you will have victory in that situation. Well, I pray that you were blessed by this morning's teaching. We'll continue tomorrow. talking about the virtues of revelation. I pray you have a blessed and prosperous day, and thank you for joining me. God bless you. Bye-bye.